Wild Bill and Calamity Jane are here, and now so are you. From Deadwood, South Dakota, this is the Real Deadwood Podcast with Paul Dennis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 13 of the Real Deadwood Podcast. This is Paul Dennis speaking to you from the Real Deadwood in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And this time around, we have a special Save Deadwood edition of the Real Deadwood Podcast. It's kind of a sad situation, but everyone's kind of hanging in there and hoping for the best. If you haven't heard the news yet, HBO has decided not to renew the contracts of the actors from the Deadwood series, and so this means there's a good possibility that season 4 will not happen for Deadwood, even though it had been announced previously that there would be a season 4. So at the time of this podcast, season 3 has not begun yet. So we're still looking forward to 12 episodes of season 3 that have already been filmed and are already in the can, as they say. But David Milch was recently interviewed in the Boston Globe and was quoted as saying that he never really intended to go beyond a fourth season, and that he would pretty much wrap up the show and wrap up all the storylines by the end of a fourth season. But now HBO has decided to sort of pull the rug out from under. And although HBO is saying that that there still are ongoing talks to determine whether or not there will be a season 4. So we have in this particular episode ways for you to try to maybe help to keep Deadwood on the air and to keep it going with HBO. And we've got some links for you to get with and to contact. And basically what we want everyone to do is to send emails, write letters to HBO protesting their decision. And the best place to rally and the best place to go to find out all about this is a website that's been set up called SaveDeadwood.net. So make sure you go there. Now, here is the official news article that was released by Reuters News Service. It says, "The upcoming third season of HBO's Deadwood might mark the end of the dark western. The pay cable network has opted not to pick up the options of the actors on the show, releasing them to pursue other projects. Deadwood creator David Milch is shifting his attention to John from Cincinnati, a one-hour project he is writing for HBO. The surfing-themed drama has been ordered as a pilot, subject to finalizing deals on the financial and talent side. HBO sources said there are conversations about the future of Deadwood beyond the third season, which premieres June the 11th. But with the actors moving on to other commitments, it is highly unlikely that all the main cast members would be available to do additional episodes in the future." Now, there are a lot of posts on the HBO message boards, and there are links to that on the Real Deadwood Podcast website. And a couple of those posts were put out there by Earl Brown, who plays Dan Doherty. They are reprinted on the Real Deadwood Podcast main page, so rather than me read them to you or try to summarize them, I would just have you go to the realdeadwoodpodcast.com and read those postings right there on the front page. What we're going to do in this show is I have four stars from HBO Deadwood, and we're going to depart from our normal format with little five-minute snips and music and so forth. We're going to just pretty much concentrate on the actors' reaction to this news that they have basically been fired, that they've been released from their contracts. And so on the show today, I have Earl Brown, who plays Dan Doherty, Jerry Jewell, who plays Jewel, Ashley Kaiser, who plays Dolly, who's one of the gem girls, and Leah Savoli, who plays another one of the gem girls, named Lee. Now, I've interviewed these four actors, gotten their reactions to the situation, and we have some suggestions from them on what we could possibly do. So, without any more delay, let's get right into my interview with Earl Brown.
Hello.
Hello, Earl. This is Paul.
Oh, hey, Paul. How are you?
Good. I have us hooked up now with the recording thing, so that's why there's kind of a delay with my voice, possibly. But have you got a minute, maybe, to say some stuff about this?
I'm having to do a rewrite on this. But yeah, I got 5 minutes.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, of course, everybody that's concerned about this has seen the postings that you've done, and I've quoted a couple of them on my website. But have you heard anything new on the situation right now?
You know, there's nothing but rumor and supposition. Who knows? You know, it boils down to money and to what take, you know, that is coming from. I can't tell. All I know is I've been released from my contract, and so has every other actor. We've been verbally released.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same, we were also verbally told there was a season 4. You know, it wasn't phrased in any legalese that would make it contractually binding, or else we'd have a breach of contract suit.
Right.
Well, the same thing with this. You know, our contracts still run through mid-June.
Right.
Even though we've been verbally released, I haven't seen any law lawyering coming about that releases us from it, but we're all proceeding as if it's over. But at this point, go ahead.
I was going to say, are you familiar with someone called Toby Becker, HBO spokeswoman?
No.
Okay, because that's one of the articles that's out there now. It says, Deadwood may not be dead after all. Have you seen this one?
I saw something quoted about it in a Philadelphia paper.
Right, yeah, that's what it is.
Carrie printed it out for me.
Okay, yeah, that's the one where they're saying...
You know, again, there's the departments were not called in to break down... I mean, all the wardrobe and the props and everything are up there, stored on the lot. And they did not make any calls today about come up here and tear this stuff apart, because they're still having to pay for it as long as it's there. So, who knows?
Well, what she's saying, she says, conversations are ongoing. It's possible there will be a fourth season, but we may not have 100% of the cast back. Some will be available. Now, that almost sounds like, you know, during football season where you want to get rid of some of your highest paid players so you can bring in, you know, bring in the farm league or something like that. I mean, it just really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, we have a huge cast, and it got bigger in season 3. All of that means more money. You know, I can see David not, you know, this is the way he tells the story, and he's not going to give it short shrift by, you know, cutting out half the cast and focusing on the other group and wrapping it up. I also see it from their side that we were way over budget, you know, and the budget for the next season is pretty steep, so... they're looking at alternative financing. I know, you know, I'm not at liberty to say what, but I know a few business plans that they have going. Whether they come to fruition or not, I don't know. But
mm-hmm. Well, in this article also, it kind of seems like they're trying to throw the blame on David. They're saying, you know, David is focusing his attention on other programming, and we're allowing him to do that, and so we've set the... you know, we've set the cast free while he makes up his mind is basically what it sounds like they're saying. But in your post, you're pretty much saying that you don't think this is much of David's doing.
David, I mean, he has other shows in development, you know. So he's not going to put everything in jeopardy, you know, for this one thing. David's a master writer. He's a master storyteller. Who wants to leave their story just floating in the ether, you know? It's like watching 3/4 of Citizen Kane and not realizing Rosebud is his sled. You know, there's one story element gets wrapped up with this season, but all of the rest of the characters are still floating in the ether. So without giving it some sort of finality somewhere down the line, it's left unfinished. So I can't see him preferring to just walk away from what is a hit to create something new, simply just wanting a change of landscape. You know, I can see them with, this is an incredibly expensive show, and the way David works, his obsessive way of working, I can't see him running two shows at once. He told me, I joined the writing staff this past season, and I wrote the episodes. And David, he said, you know, my plan is that, you know, 1 or 2 years from now, I got a couple of other shows going. I want to get those going, and I want Deadwood standing on its own legs at that point. I'll oversee everything, but as far as being here every day with my hands on everything, that's not going to be. But I want to see it, you know, continue. Well, again, you know, who knows? I can keep, see concern on their end. David Milch is the show. I mean, it's a great cast, but without that sort of shepherding of the herd, it's not going to be the same. Ted Mann is capable of taking over. With David still being involved and Ted running it, I could see that happening. But, you know, I could also see them worried of, okay, that's $60 million. And, you know, without David every day. So who knows? Who knows where the truth lies? All I know is something that I poured my lifeblood into and believed in to no end. Something this rare and unique and special doesn't come along very often. And to be a part of it and to see it get an audience, that the audience is still growing, and then to have the rug pulled out from under us, doesn't make me very happy.
Yeah. So. Well, now, you know, you're on, in fact, the whole cast is actually fairly intimate with it, with each other and everything. And I suppose you, as in, you said in one of your posts, had talked to Ian and had some calls in with some of the other cast members. And what about you yourself? Would you actually turn something down to kind of stay on the fence to hope that this would happen? Or would you just say, forget about it? And it was a great ride.
No, I can't. I have a mortgage to pay. You know, I can't sit around here for 6 months hoping they're going to change their minds because I have a family.
Well, 6 months, but I mean, it's June 11th. Would people hold out till then? And
well, here's the deal. David has given us, you know, his word of don't turn down work.
Okay.
So, you know, even if Deadwood resumes production, we're not going to be back in the 1st of September the way it was originally planned.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure if somebody were to be included with the show, he would work it out story-wise that we could finish up whatever we were doing.
Right.
You know, none of us are going to be on another TV show, something that's going to lock us in, because pilot season's already done. Things are cast and ordered. So that wouldn't be until, you know, the end of the year that even that process would start. So, you know, we're all doing movies. You know, Ian accepted another. He's shooting We Are Marshall. Right? I saw Ian today. Ian and John and Jerry and Janie Bryant, the wardrobe designer, we doing these radio shows for Sirius Satellite, and so we produced some of them today. So, you know, it's we're on the phone to each other constantly too. That's why I'm hoarse. I'm just kind of talked out about it. But you know, we just can't sit here and oh please hope and hope and hope. It is what it is, man. And we can lodge our complaint and lodge our unrest about it, but a week later, you got to move on, you know. Ian took this comedy, and there's another one I'm going to be doing that looks like I'm going to be doing. It starts in August when my movie's done, the one I'm doing now, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it seems kind of a weird ploy, though. I've never even heard of this thing of, well, we're gonna keep the production people, you know, on the set, and we're gonna, you know, David's still gonna work for us, regardless of which show he's doing, but we're gonna let the cast go. Have you ever heard of this happening before in your experience?
No.
Basically firing the cast and keeping everybody else around?
No.
It just seems very strange.
And no matter how it plays out, it was such an incredible experience and a unique, great group of people. Well, they fucked it up now. You know, that level of trust and commitment to each other is gone. It's like having an affair in the middle of your marriage. You know?
Yeah.
You just never quite get over it. So.
Well, I know that sometimes that when this sort of thing could happen, for example, like in a strike, some people will cave and go back, and others will stay out. So, depending on how people play this, I suppose this could actually cause a little bit of dissension among the cast, like you're talking about, mm-hmm. A certain level of mistrust.
Well, you know, I have an agreement with them. I have a contract, and it's not like I'd break the bank. You know, we did renegotiate from the very first deal that we did. Because that was working for very little money.
Mm-hmm.
But once the show found an audience and found its legs, you know, I'm not. They can come to me and say, okay, you can come back to the show, but at half of what we agreed upon, nope, not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just not going to do it. So,
well, when you all were here a couple weekends ago, of course, Robin was here before you were, and I heard her say to somebody said something about the longevity of the show, and she said, well, another actress and I just signed a contract with HBO for 7 years.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's what she was using as kind of an example to say, well, you know, this looks like we're in for the long haul. So if the show splits, does that mean?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm just wondering how that works.
Well, when they renegotiate with all of us, when they have the option at the end of every season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the deal about, you know, to force actors out of the show or something, that doesn't really make sense because they have the option.
Right.
You know, if they have us, my deal, when the first deal was for 5 years. When it was renegotiated, they added 2 more years onto it to make it a 7-year total.
Okay.
But again, it's on a year-by-year basis. Like, you have a guarantee of so many episodes out of 12, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mine, because I'm in the Gem Theater, I'm one of those characters, I'm 12 out of 12, so I'm guaranteed all episodes produced. If they were to call me back for next season and say, well, we're only going to do it for 2 episodes and then kill him off, or we won't need you for a while, I still get paid for all 12 of them.
Uh-huh.
So they have that option. We don't have the option of quitting, I mean, without facing a lawsuit, because that's breaking our contract. The ball is in their court. So that's the way that works. You know, if they're trying to do an end around to avoid a Jim Gaffigan situation, you know, where Jim really had him over a barrel after Sopranos broke open, they had to, you know, leverage the farm just to pay him. You know, they may be trying to avoid that. I don't know. Again, that's supposition. I can't say.
Yeah.
I'm not on that side. I don't know.
Well, now, you say you're hoarse from the Sirius Satellite thing. You were telling me that you're going to do 12 shows in 3 days?
Yeah, we did 4 of them today. I'm hoarse from that and being on the phone all the time.
You mentioned Jerry. Are you talking about Jerry Jewell?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just got an email here with her cell phone number. So I don't know. Did you have to mention this to her, or somebody must have? Because she's not saying exactly who told her to email me here at my podcast address. But that'd be, maybe I'll be able to get with her too.
It's probably Leah.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, because I'm going to be talking to her tomorrow night about this, and we're going to see, you know, where she's being pretty active with her websites as I'm trying to be with mine. And so I kind of want to put out kind of, I wouldn't call it an emergency podcast, but I guess you'd call it an extra, just to, because as they're concerned about on the boards, you know, a lot of people just aren't aware of this. People that don't, aren't on the boards constantly, and maybe people who don't pay attention to the entertainment news, may be blind to this, so...
I'm looking right here. I have email coming to me through my band's website about Deadwood, so people are slowly finding out.
Yeah. You're aware of the SaveDeadwood.net, right, website?
Yep, that's what I'm typing right now to this person.
Okay. Isn't it kind of strange, though, that SaveDeadwood.com and SaveDeadwood.org had already been bought in April? That seems strange.
Yep. I'd like to know who bought them.
Well, I actually looked that up, and apparently it's a, it's kind of like a holding company or something. It's not anybody active, I don't think.
Yeah, like by proxy or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, say hi to Anna for me.
All right.
Tell her Alex says hi.
I will do that.
And we'll be talking to you later. Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's our good friend Earl Brown. Next, I have Jerry Jewell, who plays Jewell on the show. And actually, Jerry was the very first Deadwood actor to visit the real Deadwood here in South Dakota. She was here about 3 years ago. She is a motivational speaker and a comedian, and she does have cerebral palsy. Any of you who remember a show called The Facts of Life from quite a few years ago, she was actually the first actress with a major disability like that to be on a network show. And she spoke at the Deadwood Chamber of Commerce banquet about 3 years ago or so. And she was wonderful. She's just the sweetest and nicest person you'd ever want to meet. And she didn't recognize me at first, who I was. But then, as you'll hear, I remind her that I had met her at that. And then she sort of remembers who I am. So it was Leah Savoli, who you'll hear a little bit later in the show, who had emailed Jerry and said, you know, that I would like to interview her for the show and that she'd be maybe trying to help out to keep Deadwood going. So here goes my interview with Jerry Jewell.
Hello.
Hi, is this Jerry?
Yeah.
This is Paul in Deadwood. I just got your email about possibly being on my little internet show.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going?
It's going okay. I'm kind of bummed by the blow, but, you know, they're not picking up the season.
Yeah. Well, I just talked to Earl, and he was saying that you're doing the radio show?
Yeah, I did today. Yes.
For the next couple days, too, huh?
No, not me. So that's the email I left you, is that the only day I could do it for Earl was today because I go on the road tomorrow.
Oh.
But I was thinking maybe if we could hook up. I don't know. How do you do it?
Well, actually, I have us hooked up right now.
Oh, so in other words, you interview over the
phone? Yeah, just like a phone interview thing, and then I just record it, and then I edit it, and then I patch it all together and boost it and everything, and then I put it out on the internet for people to download.
Oh, okay. What kind of questions do you want to ask?
Well, you know, I guess the big topic right now is this whole thing of basically, you know, releasing all the actors and everything and, you know, kind of letting them just look around for other work, you know. And I, like I was asking Earl, have you ever heard of anything like this? I'm not sure I've ever even heard of a scheme like this before.
It's so bizarre. It is so bizarre. I mean, a hit show.
Yeah.
You know, and not telling us. When I heard that they already knew before we even wrapped up the 13th.
Well, yeah, Earl was saying that the costume people are still out there, the props are still out there, everything's out there like nothing happened.
Yeah, that's what's so bizarre about the whole thing.
Are you looking for other things to do? I guess everybody is right now, right? Everybody has bills to pay and everything.
Well, of course you have to, but for me, it's a little bit different because I am not a contract player.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a day player. So which means that I can take other work, and then they work around what work I take. So it's a whole different ballgame affecting me. The only way it affects me is that I basically turn down a lot of work during the meeting schedule. So that it's not overwhelming. Well, she'd always gone. Why do we want to use this? So I ease myself up on other jobs so that I'm available for Deadwood.
Right.
So that's just, you know, you just have to do that. And so it's always the deal, you know, I turn a lot of work down and then again, they're not filming. So, okay. Well, I guess I'm going to go back on the road.
Yeah.
So
you're leaving tomorrow on the road?
Yeah, tomorrow I go on the road. I'm going to North Carolina tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So anyway, so for me, it's not as traumatic as it would be for someone like Ian McShane or Earl or any of those guys because they're contract players. And, you know, that's a different story.
The people in North Carolina, I'm sure they're going to enjoy your talk and your act, just like we did here in Deadwood when you spoke here for the Deadwood Chamber Banquet, and that's when I met you. My wife and I both met you, and I have a little bit of tape of that actually. That was the night that she got the award and everything. And
oh, okay.
That was a very memorable night.
Yeah, it was one of my fondest memories.
Oh, great! Yeah.
Yeah, one time.
Well, we hope you can make it back here to the real Deadwood sometime because, you know, all the actors that have been here. Actually, I think you were here before just about anybody. It was after you were here that John Hawks and Scott Stevens came. And then, you know, last summer, 11 of them all came and everything. But you were kind of the pioneer with that coming to the real Deadwood.
11. I'm a pioneer in Deadwood. That's cool.
There you go.
Well, you know what? You know, we should all come back and do it as a group, as a team effort. I really hope that we can fight the decision that went down at HBO because it makes no sense whatsoever.
I hear you.
I mean, if it were, you know, if it were the ratings, if it were something logical,
yep.
But there doesn't seem to be any logical about this. And the thing of it is, everybody on the show loves working with anybody. It's just like a family environment. So it's a shock to all of us. It really is.
Sometimes I get the impression that this might have been some sort of a personal argument that maybe wasn't supposed to get public. And then all of a sudden, once it got leaked, Now HBO is kind of scrambling to deal with the public relations crisis here and everything, and their loss of credibility, and they're not quite sure what to do about this or something. I don't know.
I have only heard bits and pieces, and I don't know enough to make a comment on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to just guess out of the air.
Right.
The whole thing, I mean, what's so absurd is that the contracts are up on June 11th, and that's the debut of the third season.
Yeah. How ironic is that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, HBO doesn't even know how the third season is going to play out. And I happen to believe it's going to be a great season. So why would you take that from the public if it's such a good thing? I just don't get it.
I know. If they're, you know, running out of money and that's the problem, then cut back on some of the unpopular shows. You don't kill your number two show. It just doesn't make sense. That's why maybe it seems like this was some kind of weird threat or something, and now all of a sudden the cat's out of the bag or something. I don't know. It's just so bizarre.
I get the feeling that there's something going on that nobody really knows the whole truth to.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, it's about $100 million to produce Rome. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, $100 million to produce Rome.
Oh, yeah. Well, Earl was saying it was 120, according to Earl, and that it costs half that much to do Deadwood, about 60.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I think it's sad because I love working on the show. I love working with the cast, the crew. I mean, I have very fond memories of Deadwood, and I'm very close to David Milch, and he put me back on the map with Deadwood, so it'll always have a warm place in my heart.
Well, why don't you, I know you told the story that night that you spoke here in Deadwood, as to how you got on the show, but now that you're gonna be on my show here, and actually I have pretty much of a worldwide audience. I have people from over 50 countries that listen to this little show of mine. Well, why don't you tell them how David approached you and how he asked you to be on the show?
Well, I met David in a pharmacy in Santa Monica, and I was standing in line, and David turned around and recognized me, and he said, "Jerry Jewell," and I said, "Yes," and he said, "I love your work. Thank you for entertaining me all those years." And I said, "Well, you're welcome." And he said, "I haven't seen you on TV in a long time. What are you doing these days?" And I had just recovered from spinal cord surgery from C1 to C7, and, you know, just getting my health back, and in fact, I was there that day to get Botox injections in my neck and shoulders and back for chronic pain from the surgery. And I said, "Well, I'm not really doing a whole lot these days." And he said, "Well, you want a television show? Excuse me? you want a television show?" And I said, "Hey," I said, "just because I'm in a pharmacy doesn't mean I'm screwed up. Don't play with my mind." He said, "I'm not. In case you don't recognize me, my name is David Milch." I said, "NYPD Blues David Milch?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Oh, my God. Wow." And he said, "Well, I just got done, what did he say? I just got contracted with HBO to do a new Western called Deadwood. You want to do a Western?" You know, and I'm standing there with cerebral palsy and all this titanium in my neck and barely, you know, recuperating from surgery. And I looked up as far as my neck would allow me, and I said, "God, you have a quirky sense of humor. I'm standing here with cerebral palsy, a titanium neck, shooting Botox, and David Mills wants me to ride a horse." And that was the beginning. And in all honesty, my naivete, I honestly thought, I didn't put two and two together, you know, David Milch, NYPD Blues. It just didn't click because I wasn't awake yet. It was only at 8:30 in the morning and I was still half asleep.
Yeah.
And when he said a Western, I'm thinking like Miss Kitty, you know. I had no idea. It was like, wow. So, but you know what? that's okay, because what it did was he pushed me, he challenged my ability to go beyond and to expand my experience as an actress. And he gave me so many gifts in finding out what I was capable of doing. And I think the bittersweetness of it is that, you know, in Deadwood, it was the first role that I ever had where I didn't have cerebral palsy, because cerebral palsy wasn't diagnosed until 1921, actually. And so in 1876, they didn't know what my problem was.
Exactly.
Yeah, for the first time, I didn't really have a label. I mean, they call me names from left to right on this show. But still, it was interesting because they had no idea what cerebral palsy was back then.
One of my favorite scenes, I was watching episode 12 again from last year the other day, when everybody's getting dressed up for the wedding. And Paula's there, and she goes, what can I wear? And you hand her the pin. And she goes, what? You didn't use this to buy the gun? How did you get the gun? And you go, oh, I just sold a little pussy. Oh, God, I thought, oh, Jerry, she's so classic. That's one of the best lines I've ever heard in the show. Leave it to David to give you that.
Oh, thank you.
That was awesome.
It wasn't the line that I would write.
Here's a question I want to ask you, because you've had so many scenes with him, but what's Brad Dourif really like?
He's a sweetheart and very, very intense. Very intense, extremely intelligent, and a sweet, kind heart. And that describes Brad Dourif.
Wow.
And I enjoyed working with everybody. I mean, I was really looking forward to a fourth season, because I think Jewel was finally coming alive big time in the third season, and you actually get to know more about Jewel than you ever did before, and she even has a last name in the third season. So
wow,
you know, she's finally being developed, and then HBO goes bye bye.
Yeah, that sucks.
It was very, very sad. You know, and I never did get a new dress. That's what pisses me off the most. I wanted a new dress, you know? I have worn the same dress in that show since the first season, and they had two alternate dresses this season, but they wanted to save them for the fourth. And that just pissed me off. I was looking so cool to wear a new dress.
Well, you know, people may consider your character, you know, somewhat of a minor character, but when you're on screen, you know, you really kind of steal the show and steal the scene. But I remember when you were here talking to us in Deadwood, and you were saying how many takes they would do for some of your lines and some of the parts. Tell everybody how meticulous David is on some of that stuff.
Yes, I mean, well, you also taking it from many, many different angles. You're doing the same thing over and over again from one actor's viewpoint, from another viewpoint, from another actor's viewpoint, from above, from below. And so you get it from every angle. And that takes a lot of talent to capture everybody in the whole scene. I mean, there is no small part in Deadwood. There really isn't. There isn't a small part anywhere, and if you really want to look at, you know, it philosophically. But, my scenes, what's challenging for me is the physicality of it, you know, because after about 20 takes, you know, that's a long day for me, physically, especially if I'm doing a lot. But, you know, the wonderful thing is that David did not baby me, does not say, oh, I don't know if you can do that. And he will challenge me, and it's up to me. And he told me this in the very beginning. He said, Jerry, I'm going to push you, we're going to push you, and you are the one that has to set the limits. Nobody can guess what you can and cannot do. You're the only one that knows that. And I thought, wow, what a gift. that is phenomenal to make that decision mine and not someone else's.
Yeah.
In other words, well, you don't want to give her too much to do. You know how those disabled people are. So she always left it up to me to call my limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've risen to the challenge time and again with him. And one of the things that was kind of challenging this season was the third season, I end up making a lot of meals this season. Instead of sweeping a lot, I'm making meals. I'm cooking and carrying food. And that was hard, you know, to carry trays of food without dropping it and to do it again and again and again without dropping it.
Yeah.
So I found out, though, that I could do it if I set my mind to it. And so if Deadwood is ending, I can always get a job at Denny's. No problem.
On the job training.
It's a sad commentary on my life, but, but I found out that I'm actually employable at Denny's. And I found out after Deadwood.
You'll have a long career as a speaker and a comedian, just like you did when you were here. You know what also seems a little strange, though, is like one of these articles I'm reading is that HBO is almost kind of trying to put the blame on David for this whole thing, where they're saying, oh, well, he's looking at this other show and he's busy with another show. And we know that's going to take a lot of time and energy and we're going to let him do that. And so what we've decided to do is let the cast,
Well, you know, the only problem that I have with that quote is that it contradicts what David has said all along, is that he committed to 4 years.
Right.
And he said, after the fourth season, I get off the bus. I don't know about anybody else. So why would he contradict himself?
Yep.
I mean, that's where I don't buy that completely, because I know David well enough. I mean, nobody's perfect, but I do not think that he would just go back on a commitment that he made. He has integrity, and he has ethics, and I can't imagine it truly being him. If it is, it's a surprise to me.
And I'm sure he has pride in his work, and he has a track record with all his previous projects, and he certainly, this will be a major legacy in his career. So I'm sure he's not going to want to leave, as a lot of the postings are saying. It's like leaving a masterpiece painting 3/4 of the way, you know, finished, and just stopping in the middle of it, you know, and that just doesn't sound like David.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. So I mean, like I said, I would be spent if he's the one that's creating this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly thought that David committed to 4 years.
Well, that's sure what it sounds like. Well, Jerry, I want to thank you very much for your time, and I want to let you go and get ready for North Carolina tomorrow. But I just want to tell you once again how much we enjoyed having you here, and we sure hope that maybe you'll be able to come back sometime. And thanks a lot for being on my show with me. Like I said, I have a little... I was getting my video camera out because I was getting ready to tape my wife, you know, winning that award. And so I caught the very end of your act, just the last couple, maybe 2-3 minutes. And so what I'll do is put that on a video clip and put that on my website, and for people to see just what you do when you go out and you do your speaking engagements.
Okay. Well, how am I going to find this? How am I going to find this on the net? How do I find you?
And actually, what I'll do, now that I've got your email here, to my address, is I'll just respond to your email and I'll put the link in there. So all you'll have to do is just click right on it, and you'll be right there.
Oh, cool! Thank you. I appreciate that. And I may be getting back there. Do you remember Bobby who emceed it that night?
Yeah, Bobby Marqueso.
Yeah. We were talking about possibly getting me in a comedy club there somewhere so I could come back.
Oh, that'd be great.
So maybe I can do that. Yeah.
Wow, that'd be wonderful, Jerry.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to come back. You know, it's just everything that's up in the air right now because nobody knows what anybody's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I gotta come back because I love Deadwood. I'll just go back just to go back.
Well, now that we got now, let me ask you, how did you get my email? Was it from Leah Savoli?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that is how I got it. She emailed me. She asked me if I was interested and said if I was to email you.
Okay. Tomorrow night, I'll be talking to her the same way I'm talking to you, just, doing a phone interview just like this. So I'll thank her for getting me hooked up with you. And now that I've got your email, let's keep in touch and I'll keep you posted on what's going on in the real Deadwood.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Jerry. Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye. And that is the ever sweet and wonderful Jerry Jewell. Now, I do have a little video clip, actually, of when she spoke at the Deadwood Chamber banquet. So make sure you check out the realdeadwoodpodcast.com video clips, and you'll see that.
Hi, this is Robin Weigert. I play Calamity Jane on HBO's Deadwood, and you are listening to the Real Deadwood Podcast with Paul Dennis.
Thank you, Robin. Now, next up, we have Ashley Kaiser, who plays Dolly. Now, Dolly is the one that's always giving a blowjob to Al Swearengen, and she kind of took over as Al's main squeeze from season one when Trixie, Paula Malcolmson, was kind of Al's number one whore slash girlfriend. So she is really fun, and again, she's a friend of Leah Savoli's, and actually Leah was over at her house when I called them both, and so they kind of take turns there on the phone. So first we'll have Ashley Kaiser, and then after that, as I mentioned, Leah Savoli, who plays Gem Girl Lee. Now, her scene that I recall was she was sitting at the table with Hawkeye, who is Hawkeye Henson, just before Earl beat him up in chagrin of thinking that Silas Adams had won Al's favor as his right-hand henchman, and that was early in season two. So here we go with Ashley and Leah.
Hello.
Hello, this is Deadwood calling. What's going on?
Oh, not much. How are you?
So is this Ashley or Leah?
This is Ashley.
For the people who are listening in, tell us who you play on the show.
I play a character named Dolly. I am Al's new girlfriend, kind of headmistress at Gem's Saloon.
Kind of took over for Trixie there, huh? For Paula.
Oh, pretty much. Someone had to.
Yeah, now that she's all hooked up with Saul Star, right?
Yep, she's leading a very respectable life now.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Yeah, learning her numbers and whatnot.
Yep.
So what's your take on this whole, show thing? That's kind of what we're trying to do, is to let people know different, impressions of how this hits people and how they feel. And then what do you think we should do about it?
Yeah. Well, it was very shocking. I mean, it completely blindsided me. I wasn't expecting to hear that. The last I had heard, we were completely picked up, and season four was going to start probably in, September or October. And then I get the phone call saying that Deadwood has been canceled for season four. We're not going to be filming. The show's over. And it was disappointing. It was really sad because just you get to know all these people and you get to make such good friends with them and you look forward to this all the time you're off. And then suddenly the rat party's the last time you're ever going to see them again.
So who exactly was it that called you with the news?
I got the original phone call from my friend Alyssa. Then, and she had gotten it from a wardrobe person. So I kind of half didn't believe it until I heard it on the radio.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's what they said. They actually said that it's canceled, or did they give that whole runaround that you see on the web about, oh, well, we're letting the actors, pursue their own thing, but if any of them want to come back, if we change our mind, we may see some new faces. And it's just like, what? What kind of,
That's pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's kind of like, well, the show might be done, but then again, you never know. So it's just, the pretty much the title of it, I remember they said, Is Deadwood Dead? And I'm like, oh, no, it's real. So it was sad.
I talked to Earl Brown last night, and he said that David told told him and some of the other cast members, he said, don't turn down any work.
Yeah.
But the impression Earl got was that if something, positive happened and something they changed their mind or switched gears, that David would try to work around anybody's schedule who did pick up a different project, you know.
Yeah.
Just like they'll let people off, you know, sometimes to do a movie or whatever and then shoot around them. I know Robin said that she was off for 10 days during the shooting to go do a movie, and that she said, you know, they're usually pretty nice about something like that. So,
yeah, Deadwood's very good about that.
Yeah, but it's just crazy to just have everything up in the air. You know, it's almost what I get the impression of. It's almost like this wasn't supposed to come out in public or something, because it's just so stupid.
Yeah.
That it's almost like there was some sort of a personal argument or something, and it was like, fuck you. Oh, yeah, fuck me. Fuck you. Oh, yeah, fuck you. And then it was like, well, then screw you. We'll just, you know, we'll fire the actors, you know. And that's like, no, you wouldn't do that.
And
the next thing you know, it leaks out, and now HBO looks really stupid. Their credibility is down the tubes. And from what my wife understands today, she heard that 500,000 people have canceled their subscriptions as of today.
Yeah, I keep getting a lot of fan mail on my email site from people saying that they will only stick around as long as Deadwood, until Deadwood ends, and then after this season finishes, they're all canceling their subscriptions. And that's, I mean, I've gotten probably about 90 emails saying that since the news came out.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, and that's the only thing they're going to understand, right, is they think they're doing it to save money, and we have to make sure that it actually costs them money, you know, that it's the worst of two evils.
Exactly. That's what I keep telling people. I'm like, well, you know, just keep writing letters and get as many people as you can to watch the show and stick with the show, support it, get your friends to watch it, write letters to all the right people and keep sending them, and hopefully if the response is big enough, they'll have no choice but to bring it back. Season 3 it's gonna be a hit. It's got some really good content in it. It's got a very nice pace to it and some good surprises. So season 3, when it comes out, I think that it's not going to be any discussion about whether Deadwood comes back or not for a fourth season. The fans are gonna love it.
Well, we just hope it's not too late by then, though, that they can get most, as Earl put it, the horses have been let out of the barn, and it's going to be hard to corral them all and get them back. It won't be impossible, but it'll be, you know, pretty difficult, I guess.
I have a feeling it might take a little longer than they think to bring back a fourth season. Just as an opinion, it might be a year or so before they can start filming another season, because with the actors, you know, signing on to other things, they might have to wait to sign them until all their projects are done. So that's what I foresee.
I hope David's not too engrossed in his new projects, though, to the point where he doesn't want to be torn away from them, especially if they get a lot of acclaim and become big hits like all his other stuff, you know, if they're true to his track record.
Yeah, well, what I've noticed about David is he gets very dedicated to his work, especially his works of art like Deadwood, things like that. So I see him coming back. I don't see him leaving the thread so loose like this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that would be it, too, the artistic integrity of wanting to finish your story. And as they've said on a lot of the boards and stuff, he's got the rest of the story in his head. You know, he's got it all worked out. It's just a matter of, you know, he didn't want to, you know, compromise it and try to do it in just 6 episodes, or to even offer him like, oh, well, clean it up, you know, finish it up in a 2-hour special. I mean, what an insult that is, you know?
Yeah, that's horrible. There's no way. There's no way you can wrap up a 12 episode season in 2 hours. That's just, it doesn't make any sense. So, especially to put a time limit on him.
Were you a contract player or a day player?
I vary. I'm a day player. I've been a weekly player. It all depends on the content of the scene and how long it's going to take to shoot.
Right.
So they usually start me as a day player, but 9 times out of 10, it turns into a week.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So do you have any other projects coming up, or do you have any anything on the horizon for you?
There are some talks and things in the works, but nothing is set in stone yet. So I'm working things with my agents. I've been doing numerous auditions. So it's back and forth right now. So, but nothing is set. There's not been any contracts signed yet.
So, how did you feel? Of course, now this, what we're doing here is we're recording stuff, and then I put it all together into a show, and I put it out on the internet, and so it's not actually going over the air, and there's no FCC to say, oh, you can't say this and you can't say that, you know, so.
Oh, okay.
So I can ask you, so how did you feel when they told you that your part would basically be giving blowjobs to Ian McShane?
Oh, that was fantastic.
I mean, you could say, you know, oh, I work very closely with Ian McShane. It's like, oh, yeah, not that close.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, perfect. Yeah, it it was interesting when they told me that, because they were very careful about how they told me what my first scene was going to be, because I had had nothing yet. I was just a non-union background, no SAG vouchers, absolutely nobody, just always done background. And David Milch comes up to me with this offer, and they're like, well, here's the content of the scene. Will you be okay with giving a blowjob? And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, that sounds great.
You're like, if Monica Lewinsky can do it and become, you know, world famous, then hell yeah, so can I.
Exactly. How else do you get remembered? Everyone will always know me as the blowjob queen of Deadwood.
Well, you know, that's a dubious title, but yet I guess Leah will tell you that she got on the horn to all her buds. And this morning, I am a professor at a college, and I'm looking at my email, and here's this thing says, I'm the tit licker.
Oh, yes, Greg Geddes.
Yeah, Greg's like, you know me, I'm the tit licker. So I'm like, great. And in one day I hear from the tit licker and the blowjob queen.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Only in Deadwood.
Oh, I'll never forget. Ian's favorite thing that he likes to say is Dolly does Deadwood. So instead of Debbie does Dallas, we got Dolly does Deadwood. And I'm like, oh, that's horrible.
That's cool.
So it's fun, though.
Well, according to Earl, they're doing this Sirius satellite shows.
Yep.
Like they did last year, where they're being like DJs and stuff. I think Earl said it was him, Ian, John Hawks, Janie Bryant, and Jerry Jewell, I think, yesterday did some.
Yep, and Lee and I are going in tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, so you guys are doing that too, huh?
Yep, sure are.
Oh, that'll be sweet. You're doing like 3 shows in a day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Peter will be there tomorrow.
Peter Jason?
Yes.
Yeah, he was one of the ones here last summer.
Oh.
He was a riot, too. It was so great. He in the press conference that they gave, you know, those 11 of them that were here, and people were standing up asking questions, and one guy goes, well, was it hard for you all to embrace the language? And Peter goes, what the fuck do you care?
I wish I could have seen that.
I know. Okay, so Leah's there, huh?
Yes, she sure is. You ready to talk to her?
Yes, I am.
All right, it was nice talking to you.
Same here, Ashley. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Here's Leah. Hey, Paul.
So finally, the elusive Leah Savoli, huh?
We finally speak. How are you?
I know. I'm just great. So, you know, we're both trying to do our part here to help the show and make HBO kind of pay attention to us and everything. So why don't you tell the listeners exactly, you know, what you're doing and some of your websites and, you know, some of how you're getting in touch with your friends and stuff.
Okay. Absolutely. Basically, I got the news on Friday from one of the stand-ins had called me and let me know. And like Ashley said, I was pretty much in disbelief and shock. So I went right to the HBO message boards, and, you know, and that's where it was confirmed. Keone, who plays Mr. Wu, he wrote an excellent poem and left that on the message boards. And then I saw Earl's post. And as Earl said, I think he put it very eloquently, he said, it's with the actors' contracts not being renewed, it's like letting the horses out of the barn, and can you round them all up in time? Because as my understanding, we are not dead yet. We are not done. There's technically a window till June 11th with most of the actors, and I would hope, knowing that they all love this project as much as I do, that they would at least hold on till then before they go off to greener pasture, so to speak. For now, I've been taking my initiative off of the fans. The fans on the message boards are just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, they really are.
They've started letter writing campaigns. They're raising money to take on an ad. So I've taken my initiative from them. You can check out it's savedeadwood.com. It has all the details.
It's savedeadwood.net.
Savedeadwood.net. Thank you for the correction. Savedeadwood.net has all the information, who to contact. One of the guys on the message board started that, I believe, correct?
Yeah, I believe so, yep.
And put all the information up there. Then you can contact, if you go to the HBO message boards, click on Deadwood, click on contact. It seems there's a matter of finances concerned, but, you know, this is a work of art. This is a work of art, and our heart, our soul, our, you know, our lives have been dedicated to this. And I'm a background player. You know, I've been bumped up to a contract once on this season, and I absolutely love the show and everyone about it. And like Ashley just mentioned, to think that the wrap party was the last time we were going to see anybody, like, well, there's a whole other season that we're planning and characters developing. And this third season, Paul, is just amazing. There are so many little stories coming out amongst the big stories and so many new characters. You know, there's a countess that comes to town, and Davey the bartender is developing, and Richardson is developing, and there's a couple new whores that are developing, and there's a ton of surprises. The Earp brothers come to town.
And Jack Langrish.
Yes, I mean, there's just so much. The story has just grown so much, and it's developing so much that I really think we're going to pick up a lot of new fans. A complaint I've heard in the past from people is that it's a little hard to follow the story. You know, it's set in the Old West, and the language is something that we're not used to in modern society. But with this season, there are so many more, I want to say, human interest type stories developing that I think especially our female fan base is going to expand. There's a lot more with Alma. There's a lot more with Trixie. There's a lot more with Joni and Jane. So it's almost like cutting off your jackpot right before it's about to explode is how I see it. So back to what we said about what I'm doing is I've contacted thousands, literally thousands of people. I have my own mailing list. My website is leahonline.net. And you can sign on to my mailing list from there, but I have a few thousand on there, as well as my MySpace page. I have a profile over at MySpace. It's myspace.com/LeahAnn. Send me a friend request, and I have just put it out to everyone, and I've been getting a great response. I've had, in the past 24 hours, you know, at least 2-3 dozen people forward it on to their mailing list for me. So I wouldn't be surprised if we've touched 5,000 to 10,000 people just in the past like day or two, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of who I am. I know a lot of people and I connect a lot of people. I'm one of those connector type people, always hooking people up with things and, you know, have my hand in a little bit of everything. I did a lot of music promotions when I first moved into Hollywood, so I have a pretty mailing list. So, I mean, that's really all I can do. You know, I'm an actress. I'm an actress. I'm a hostess. All I can do is spread the word and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is how we feel about it. Help us, you know, and hopefully HBO will listen. The people are speaking and we're speaking loud and we're speaking quickly. So it's not like we're waiting till season 3 starts and everybody's going, oh, we love this show. Save it. No, everyone's saying now, please, wait, what are you doing? Don't do this to us. You know, this is something we all enjoy from every standpoint. So I really hope what I'm doing, what you're doing, what we're all doing, I thank you so much for having us all on the show. And, like, let's hope that HBO listens. And you know, as far as David goes, I don't see David leaving us all hanging like this. If, I don't know, maybe it has to be taken somewhere else. If things don't get sorted out with HBO, can we go somewhere else? I don't know all those ramifications and all the legalities of all that. But I'm sure that's an option somewhere down the line if need be, but we got to continue on.
I saw Showtime mentioned a couple of times, something about, you know, really? Would Showtime take it or something. So you're an actress, a hostess, and Sabrina the Teenage Bitch.
I am Sabrina the Teenage Bitch, yes. Robot Chicken.
Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Sure. Robot Chicken is actually how I got my SAG card. Like Ashley, I started off as non-union background on Deadwood. And in the middle of season 2, I landed a job out of the blue on Robot Chicken. I met one of the producers on Friendster, of all places. So these sites really do work. And we had coffee, not knowing anything about anything. And he heard I was an actress. And next thing I know, I get a call. They had a cancellation. They brought me in. And they've had me back for 7 episodes. I've been working for 2 seasons now on Robot Chicken. Sabrina the Teenage Bitch is probably my biggest claim to fame. This season just started, and there's one of the episodes, there's a memory game coming up, which is really hysterical, and I play the female contestant on the memory game. It's a memory game / like Indiana Jones and Raider of the Lost Ark, where like boulders are coming down on her head, and she's screaming and running and stuff. And so that has been absolutely incredible to work. Matt Senrich and Seth Green are the executive producers and creators of that, and they have just been incredible. We did their DVD release party at the Playboy Mansion just a couple months ago. Again, everyone, HBO.com. There's a button for Deadwood. There's a button for Contact Us. you want to email Chris, it's savededwood.net. Please send a letter. It can be two sentences. Dear HBO, I am a subscriber. I am a fan of your original programming and especially Deadwood, and I would be severely disappointed if Deadwood does not return for a fourth season. Please at least let us have some closure and finish out the show for all the actors, all the cast, all the crew, writers, producers, the fans alike. At least give us that. At least let us finish off the season, the fourth season, with some closure and finish out this beautiful story that David Milch has created.
And if you don't, I'll be canceling my subscription. We got to hit him in the pocketbook where it counts.
And if you don't, if that's the route you have to take, I'm not going to tell anyone to cancel your subscription. But if that's the route you have to take, and if that's the route we're forced to take, then so be it. But let's hope that our pleas are not falling on deaf ears, because I do think the people at HBO are good-hearted people and know what they're doing, and they've given us the liberty to create this show the way that we've created it. They've given us the liberty to work as David works, which is unlike any other. You know, we work very long hours and we work spur of the moment, and it's rare for a network to allow such creative expression and freedom where, you know, lines are created on the spot, characters are created on the spot, given lines on the spot, where most networks need to have, you know, a dozen meetings before something like that can be decided. So HBO has, I believe they've been good to us, so let's just hope there's a change of heart and things are worked out, and we're all back next season. Well, we all make mistakes, and Chris, you're making a mistake. So
yep,
we're giving
absolutely.
You the room to correct that and fix it before, like Earl said, the horses are out and we can't get them back. So let's sit down and talk and make peace and figure this all out.
Yeah. Well, and how many cliches are there? Cutting off your nose to spite your face, throwing out the baby
exactly.
with the bathwater.
Exactly.
It's and again, you know, you think you're going to make this move to save money, but number one, you're killing the credibility of the entire network for other shows, not just Deadwood. And number two, people are going, you know, a lot of people around here, they only subscribe to HBO just to see Deadwood. I mean, they really can't afford it. There are a lot of blue-collar people around here, a lot of,
I am in the same boat. All of us are, Ashley as well. I mean, we subscribe because of Deadwood. We're not living in the lap of luxury where we can afford something like that, other than that's the show we want to see. And, I'm sure he's a good guy. He's done a lot of great stuff. I'm sure he knows what he's doing, but in this instance, he's made the wrong decision, and let's fix it.
Well, Leah, you know what? We're just going on and on here.
I know. Okay, we're gonna hang up now, so I can make it home before the sun sets.
Okay, kid. Talk to you later.
All right, sweetheart. Bye.
Take care. Bye, bye. And there were a couple of really nice young ladies. Now, these interviews were done over Skype, and I had Skype going on my end, and then I was calling them on the phone. So, unfortunately, I don't quite have my settings perfected yet for Skype, so my voice was a little on the distorted side. But I think you can pretty much hear what was going on, and you can hear the concern and the love that these actors have for each other and for the show. So again, we would really ask you to go to savededwood.net, and there you will see some contact information for the people at HBO to send them regular snail mail, to send them some emails, and also they suggest the possibility of looking in your local newspaper and finding out who the TV writers are, and seeing if we can get them on the case too, to try to marshal some support for HBO sticking to their word and putting season 4 out there so that David Milch can finish this wonderful story. Now, we do have this contest going for the fantastic Deadwood mug that you can see also on the Real Deadwood Podcast website. Just click on the contest button there. And I had earlier said that we would end the contest here with episode 13, but since the vote for the Real Deadwood Podcast at Podcast Alley is your entry into the contest, and since Podcast Alley allows you to vote once per month, it only makes sense to go ahead and continue the contest out to the end of the month and basically have the contests be on a monthly basis. Now, I do have three of these mugs from John Rizzo, the Emmy Award-winning head of makeup for HBO Deadwood. So what we'll do is continue this contest to the end of May, and then episode 14, which will be right at the end of the month, right at the end of May or possibly right at the beginning of June, that's when we'll go ahead and announce the winner for the first mug, which would be considered the contest for May. And then we'll go ahead and start over again and kick off the voting for June and award the second mug at the end of June. Well, another episode of the Real Deadwood podcast comes to a close. The subject matter was a little less than delightful this time around at the prospect of season 3 being the last season of Deadwood, when everyone kind of thought, gee, around here in the Real Deadwood, we were hoping to go 5, 6, 7 seasons. So it was enough of a shock to hear David Milch say that he kind of intended season 4 to be the last one, and that's when he's getting off the bus. But you know what? We would sure take that over season 3 being the end of the line. So let's send those emails, and let's send some snail mail, and let's tell HBO how we feel about this situation, and let's really see if we can get this all turned around and have season 4 at least, so we can hear the end of David Milch's brilliant story. So from the Real Deadwood in the Black Hills of South Dakota, this is Paul Dennis wishing you all the best.